picture up of a lighthouse. This is the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. It's near and dear to me because my grandfather worked there. It's the oldest brick lighthouse in the United States. And it was first built in 1803, and it only stood 90 feet tall. Now, you would think 90 feet would be significant, but it wasn't enough. So about 50 years later, they built another lighthouse. Even after giving the first one an addition, it still wasn't enough. And so it was torn down, and in 1870, a new lighthouse was lit. And it stands almost 200 feet. And for those of you who have been there, it's really quite a sight to see. You know, the church is like a lighthouse. Matthew tells us in chapter 5, God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? No, I'm going to put you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, you need to shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, your generous Father in heaven. I want you to think tonight a little bit about the church as like a lighthouse. You know, 90 feet wasn't enough to stop a shipwreck. So the lighthouse had to be built again. Maybe what we've seen happen in the last several months is God building a new lighthouse, a taller one, a stronger one, beaming those lights out through the airwaves, through the internet, like we never imagined would happen. You see, the bottom line is the church is in trouble. David T. Olson, who's written the book, The American Church in Crisis, says 4,000 churches close every year. 2.7 million members become inactive every year. In 2020, Barna did a study about worldviews, and he concluded after interviewing thousands and thousands of people that 6% of people in the United States have a biblical worldview. The church is in trouble. And this is our opportunity not to waste a crisis. I want to look tonight at what some other people did in Scripture who were in a crisis as well. If you have your Bibles or any digital devices, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. What we know happened in Acts chapter 3 is Peter and John were walking into the temple and they met a lame man. Now, he was already at least 40 years old and he had been born lame. You perhaps remember the story. He had been sitting there begging for alms, begging for money, right? And Peter says, I don't have any to give you, but what I have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And he did. Well, that created quite a commotion. Starting in verse 1, now as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and they were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I'm reading from the New King James if you want to follow along. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000 people in one day. But Peter and John were thrown into prison. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, the high priest, I mean, they were all there. And they had a committee meeting. And what they said is, by what power or by what name have you done this thing? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, can you say that with me? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and then he goes to preach a sermon. I don't know about you. Have anybody been to court before? You're standing in front of people who could put you away. Usually I'm holding my breath and I have to say to myself, breathe. And yet Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was emboldened and he preached a sermon. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that your prayer tonight? That when people look at you, they would go, whoa, something's different about them. Something's different about her or you or him. And seeing that the man who had been healed was standing with them, they couldn't say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside to the council, they conferred among themselves. What shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done, and it's evident to all who dwell here, and we can't deny it. Shoot. We can't make it up. We can't spin this. Here's a man who couldn't walk all of his life, and now he's walking and leaping and praising the Lord. He joined the dance team. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. Boy, that'd do it right there. That from now on, they can speak to no man in Jesus' name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or not to teach. That's a crisis. That's a crisis. That's kind of like the governor saying you can't meet. You can't go to church. That's a crisis. But Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. I wish I was that quick on my feet. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because all the people were there. They saw the miracle. And being let go, Peter and John went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God in one accord. Lord, you are God. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in it. They had a praise service. Verse 27, for truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to do be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you see what they did? First, they got together and had a praise service, and then they asked God for more boldness. Father, just let that sink into our hearts tonight. You know, they didn't complain about how bad it was. They didn't say, Lord, did you not know we were in prison last night? We're trying to do the best we can for you. Father, we pray that all persecution stop. Father, take Caesar out. Get rid of the Sanhedrin. Count the ballots again. God, do you not know the problem that we're in? Do you not know what they're doing? They didn't pray for any of that. They prayed, oh God, give us more boldness. I've been so convicted as I've read this. Even this morning, I was talking to someone and we were sharing about there's no prayer in school. And you know, sometimes we go to God, can I just confess, and we whine. Lord, they took prayer out of school. God, look what they're doing. What? Am I praying for more boldness? Should we not be walking around those schools, covering them with prayer? If we can't put it in, let's put it around, over, on top. Could you call your local school and get a list of the teachers and pray for them? It's probably against FERPA or something. But could we not invade those places that they tell us we can't? Can we not do it? Let no crisis go to waste. So I want us to look specifically at verse 31. And when they had prayed, they prayed. That word for prayer there is used 22 times. I love to find out how many times things are used, because there's a lot of different words for prayer. But this one means to be in need, to ask, to request, to beg, to beseech. It's the exact same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 9:38. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Are we begging God for that? Are we beseeching him? Is that a prayer that we pray often? It seems to me like that prayer ought to be met with an Isaiah 6 answer. Here I am, Lord, send me. What about Luke 21:36? Jesus said, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all the things that will take place. He never says, pray that those things won't take place, but that we have the strength to go through it. The church is in a crisis now, and this could be our finest hour. But it begins with prayer. If there's no prayer, there's no foundation. The next thing they did is they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled means to be filled, to be under the influence of. Wow. A lot of times during my day, I'm under my own influence. If I'm hangry, I might be under the influence of anything that I see as I'm driving down the road. As soon as my grandson sees the golden arches, French fries. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It also means to be completed. Everyone is filled with something. Now, you can characterize that perhaps as emptiness. You can characterize it maybe as doubt or as fear. But we're all filled with something. The thing that feels like a void is still something. In Acts 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak to them. In Luke 1:15, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And his mother and father were also filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 41 and 67. In Luke 4:28, and everyone in the synagogue was filled with wrath when they heard it. See, we're all filled with something. What are you filled with? Are we filled with anger? Are we filled with fear? Are we filled with doubt? Are we filled with worry about this crisis that we're in? Peter and John were filled with boldness. I mean, things were getting tough. The minute they said anything in the name of Jesus, they were thrown in prison. Acts tells us that. And yet the church expanded. It didn't shrink. 5,000 people were saved in that day. Wow. Could crisis be a catalyst for revival? It can be if we'll pray and we'll be filled with the Spirit. And the third thing they did was they spoke the word with boldness. I want you to look at this quote by A.W. Tozer. If the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that word boldness, it means a freedom in speaking, a boldness of speech, authority, confidence, and assurance. It doesn't mean pride, but I walk in and I have that assurance. Hey, what I'm saying is the truth. I don't have to cower in front of those people that could put me into prison. I could go in with my head held high. You know, I'm just through a book about the early church. And in the end of the first and into the second century, you know, Christians were fed to the lions amongst other people, criminals. And people would cower. They would get in there and they would cower because they would not feed these lions for days. And so they were starving. And when they let them out, the lions would come. And as people cowered, the stands full of Romans, full of the elite class, they loved to see the fear. But we are told that when the Christians came in, they walked with an assurance. They weren't proud. they weren't coming in with like an attitude, but they came in knowing that they were God's. And Scripture says that they felt worthy, right, to suffer the way Jesus did. It was an honor to do that. And what we're told in history is that the crowds of people, they began to not like it when the Christians came in because they didn't cower in fear. Took away the fun. No sport in that. They spoke with boldness. To speak openly and plainly and unambiguously. Acts 4:13, seeing the boldness of Peter and John and coming to find that they were uneducated and common, they were astonished and recognized they had been with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we behave with great boldness. Is that characteristic of your day? Do you go about your day knowing that you know you're so filled with the Holy Spirit, you have that boldness to speak? Peter and John did not ask to escape their situation, but they asked to speak the word of God with more boldness. I want you to look at this diagram that's coming up. What Americans believe. It's a map. Oh, is it here? Oh, sorry. I'm looking up there. That's the next one. Got it. Okay, so what Americans believe. Again, this was a poll by Barna in April of 2016. 35% of Americans said they were born again. And that includes those that have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus as Savior. 23% of people said they were Bible-minded. That meant that they believed that the Bible is accurate in all its principles it teaches, and they've read some scripture in the past week. 7% say that they're evangelical. Let me tell you what it means to be evangelical. It means to believe at least 9 of these things. 1, a personal commitment to Jesus that is still important in life today. 2, heaven is promised to those who have confessed their sins. 3, a personal responsibility to share their faith about Christ with non-Christians. 4, Satan exists. 5, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life while he was on earth. 6, the Bible is accurate in all that it teaches. 7, eternal salvation is only possible through grace. 8, God is the all-knowing, all-powerful, perfect deity who created the universe, and that God rules today. Did you notice the difference? And what we know is since 2016, in those 4 years, it's been declining. Out of that 35%, 7% believe what you and I believe. The church is in crisis, and it has been. But rather than being fearful, we have the opportunity to regroup, to pray, to ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, anything in me that's not of God, I want gone. I just want it gone. I've asked him so many times, Lord, you just get in there and pull it out. I don't care. I don't care if it hurts. Pull it out because I want what you have. I want you in me. The Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. You know what we need today? We need a thirsty church. We need a church that says no more. I don't care what statistics are saying. God, put me here. Look, I want you all to say that about yourself tonight. God put you here. He put you here for this time, not to run away, but to stand up. Not to cower in fear, but to say, God, give me more boldness. What the postmodern culture values, this is taken from a book, Neil Cole, 3.2. I find this really fascinating. Not only this is what I do every day at Regent, but studying about the church, There's one side, as we look, that the church seems to be going down the slippery slope. I just see it as an opportunity for God to shine brighter. When is the lighthouse needed? When it's dark. Exactly. And the darker it is, the brighter it shines. Oh, does that not do something in your spirit? The darker it is, the brighter it shines. This is the time that we need God to come and polish our windows. Honey, the oil of the Holy Spirit's coming in, and that's going to shine really bright. And we need to get all the dirt off of those windows. But this is our opportunity. We live in a postmodern, post-Christian world. People around us don't have Judeo-Christian values anymore. But that's an opportunity for us to come in, because look what people are wanting. Relationship over mission. People want to sit knee to knee with us, not just shoulder to shoulder. They want to know God is real, and how are they going to do it? By walking with us in this journey. They don't need to be judged. They want relationship. Authenticity over excellence. We don't need perfection. Oh my goodness, perfection. Perfection covers up so many flaws. They just need us to be real, to be genuine. Experience over proposition. They don't need a bunch of rules. They need our values to be lived out in the way that we live. Mystery over solution. You know, sometimes when you're serving God, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. Look, I don't have all the answers. In fact, the more I serve God, the more I realize I really don't have all the answers, but He does, and I trust Him. That's an experience I can introduce to people. Diversity over uniformity. Hey, you're different than me, and that's okay. God wants each of us to flourish in our own gifts, and then the journey over the destination. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm so hungry for the Lord. I'm so, so hungry, and I'm realizing I got to have that foundation of prayer, and we're getting ready to pray. I want you to listen to this song. If you're watching at home, I want you to stay and hear this song, and you're going to be blessed. And right after this, we're going to go to prayer here, and we're going to seek God, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to come down, and you can do the same at home.
Desolation everywhere. The harvest that we long for, we look, but it's not there. The devil sows his evil seed to thwart the master's plan. Tired and discouraged, servants work as best they can. Send down a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. Send the rain from heaven. Flood our thirsty souls. Holy Ghost, revive us, Lord. Open up the heavens, take control. The sky seems brass above us. We look for promised rain. We sow the seed of precious truth to reap the golden grain. But the Spirit's power is what we need to see the harvest come. So Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Come and glorify your Son. Down the
Holy Ghost, revive, revive us. Send the rain from heaven, flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy
Jesus. God, we need your Holy Spirit. We need you to flood us. Lord, we're not satisfied with the drip or her cup. God, we need to be filled to overflowing. I'm going to ask that you put the song back on, but put it down really low. And if you're here tonight and you need the Holy Spirit, maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight can be the night. Tonight can be the night. So I'm just going to ask all over this place, if you just want a touch from God, maybe you feel like you've been that dry, thirsty soul, just stand wherever you are. We're praying that the Holy Spirit is just going to fill us. We can get noisy. We can get loud. You can walk around. You can kneel. But tonight, God, the Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Lord, we ask you to come and fill this church. God, we ask you to come and fill our hearts. God, we ask you to come and fill us. Lord, we've been filled, some of us, with the wrong kinds of things. And we ask tonight, Lord, that you would take those things out and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, we need you. Lord, we need you. God, the world needs you. Jesus, I think about the hundreds and hundreds of ships that were wrecked off the coast of Cape Hatteras because there was no lighthouse. And Lord, I think about the people that are in our neighborhoods, the people in our families that are being shipwrecked because they don't see the light. Oh God, let us be the light. Let a harvest be the light. Lord, you have put us strategically at this place. Father, I pray that when people drive around, they would see, oh, there's the church that cares. There's the church where the presence of God is. There's the church where people are getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Sow the seed of precious truth to reap the golden grain, but the Spirit's power is what we need to see the harvest come. So Lord,
Father, we just continue that prayer. Father, we pray it over this house. That, Lord, this would be a house, Lord God, that is known for your presence. That, Lord, that the people that would come into this house, Lord God, would not only feel the power and the magnificence of your presence, but that they would be filled with the power and the magnificence of your presence. Jesus, we just thank you. You said that when you left, that you were going to send another one. And that, Lord, you were going to be with us. And that, Lord, even on that day of Pentecost, when you touched Peter and you touched the disciples, it changed the course of history. And as Dana said, these men and these women became lighthouses of your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that over harvest tonight. Father, we pray for a hunger. We pray for a hunger. Lord, that everything that we would do, that everything that you would call us into, God, that we would not be going through the motions, but that we would be led by the power and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. God, we just thank you. We thank you. God, let that hunger run deep in us.